Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Happy Friday, Cleveland. It is a busy Friday once again. We had the off day yesterday where it felt like nothing was really going on. Didn't feel like we had a lot happening. Now tonight, you get the Cavs at 8 o'clock. You get the Guardians going to be there at 9:40. You get two games all wrapped up alongside our show. It's going to be a fun time. It's Jake Falnick with you guys here on The Fan. Dominic Clary with us on the board as well. You heard her in the 2020 and doing work behind the glass. Mackenzie Flume. Oh, by the way, Colorado. A pro day today. Two guys might be available to you or will be available to you more than likely at 2. Might be of interest to you at 2. Lots being said. Deion, Shador, Travis. We'll get to a lot of it coming up here. I got a bone to pick. I got a bone to pick today. Swipes taken left and right, okay? But, listen, we have to react to something that was said earlier on in the day, but I'm not going to do it until 9 o'clock because, believe it or not, I do have 2 hours of my own content to get to first, so we'll make sure we'll do that at 9, but I'm going to handle 2 hours of content myself. That will be available, by the way, from front to back. Any show on the station that wants to use it, if they care to use my segments from 7 to 9, or 9 to 11 for that fact. 4 hours available to you. Just saying. 9 o'clock. Must listen radio. But I did want to talk Shador Sanders and Colorado's pro day today as well with Travis Hunter. Because the Browns, they made themselves very, very available today for conversations with over the last 2 days. And they send 8 guys. I mean, that's really the highlight here. They sent 8 people out to Colorado, out to Boulder, to have a little meeting with Deion, with Shador, with Travis. We had dinner. We watched the pro day. 8 different people, including Jimmy Haslam, Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, high-ranking front office members. Guys, that's no coincidence, okay? To me, that's no coincidence. You don't send 8 people to a pro day, which Andrew Berry pretty much doesn't attend for the most part. If you clearly don't have at least interest in one of these players and are very high on your board of real, real interest. Like, we go back, the private workout with Cam Ward is the easiest thing to compare it to, right? Cam Ward, you sent the big 3. Said, okay, we'll make sure that Jimmy Haslam's there, Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski. We'll get 3 people out to that private workout, 3 most important people. That's obviously not a nothing either. But you sent 8. I mean, take into account the amount of, if somebody had any role, any importance in the Browns, maybe besides Paul DePodesta, if anybody else had any importance to the Browns, they were sitting inside of the pro day, inside of the facilities today, watching Shador Sanders throw a football, watching Travis Hunter run a route. And I don't think that you just send 8 people into the building and think nothing of it. And it's just, oh, we're really interested. And these are two prospects that we're very high on. And, you know, we'll consider them at two. It's almost beyond, I think, I don't know if it's past consider them at two, but I would say that if the Browns were down right now to two or three players that they're willing to draft, you can hands down guarantee that guy was in the building today. And I would imagine if you're in a 50-50, same thing goes here. And whether or not it's both of them in that 50-50 or just one of them, I have a feeling who the Browns want to go at two was probably on the field doing something. And I don't want to rule out Abdul Carter because I think Abdul Carter is a very high possibility still. I don't think that that's completely off the table. Not my preferred thing, but either necessarily as Travis Hunter either. But that's besides the point. I don't think he's off the table. But even though he didn't run, they didn't send a ton of people to the Penn State Pro Day. I don't recall the Browns taking Abdul Carter out for a very nice dinner, if I'm not mistaken. They made sure to do that with Shador. They made sure to do that with Travis Hunter. It's by no mistake that you're sending a large majority of people out here. It's by no mistake that with Deion is the one sort of X factor in the room. You made sure that if I'm going to draft one of these guys, they know we're going to be interested in drafting one of these guys. And in fact, Deion spoke to the media today. And he let out when he was asked a question by Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com, sort of his expectations for one of these guys and what the Browns' impact in it will be. Here we go.
It was charming. It was engaging. And it was cool. It was all right. He's a good guy. And I like it. I think one of those guys is going to be there.
The conversation about Jimmy Haslam, by the way, which was by far the most awkward endorsement of anybody I think that I've ever actually had my ears come in contact with. Somebody is like level-headed and cool as Deion being like, he's a cool guy. He's a cool guy. Okay. not sure, but okay. But the more so, the bigger part of that clip being the fact that, hey, I expect one of those guys to be in Cleveland. And I don't always put a ton of stock into what Deion says, because Deion's obviously going to say, hey, number two pick available? Yeah, I expect one of my guys to be there. Why wouldn't you? I mean, there's buzz around Shador at the top of the draft. There's buzz around Travis Hunter. You would, of course, endorse the two players that played for you and say, yeah, I'd expect both of them to go number two, or, you know, one of those guys to be in the mix there and end up as the number two pick. And normally, I would just brush it off as that. But I don't think that Deion, in front of all of these other teams, by the way, who are also quarterback needy, and I would say everybody could probably use Travis Hunter in some capacity, wide receiver, corner, potentially both. Yeah, teams are usually interested in that. But you don't just come out with the, hey, you're in front of the Titans, you're in front of the Giants, you're the Saints are there, name your team, the Titans are there. You don't just come out and be like, yeah, I expect one of you to be gone by the number two pick. I think in be that bold in front of all the media there. Because make no mistake, the Giants would be interested in both guys as well. And are, I'm sure, interested in at least recruiting both of those guys. And I'm sure that Tennessee sent out plenty of people. I'm sure New York sent out plenty of people. But for me, again, the big thing here, Cleveland dropping in eight people to a pro day is not normal. It's not normal for, I mean, again, Andrew Berry doesn't go to a ton of these. They also haven't had a ton of first-round picks that he's gotten the opportunity to go to. But I would think you would have treated all of the guys you're considering the same in that case. Right? If you were really interested and really thought Cam Ward had a chance to fall to you, I imagine you probably would have made time for his pro day. And if it was going to be that big of a deal, you would have made time. It wouldn't have been the private workout after with just the three of you. You probably would have sent the eight people there as well. Because you got the one-on-one with Shador and Travis, or I guess two on eight. It would probably be the more telling of the numbers there, with Travis and Shador going up and meeting with everybody on the Browns. You got that time. The Titans got their time with Cam Ward. They had the one-on-one dinner, similarly to the way that the Browns did with these two prospects. You could have done that with Cam Ward, but you decided not to. You decided, okay, private workout, we'll watch him throw for, you know, an hour, whatever it is, and then call it a day, and we'll have a conversation, obviously, after, but no need to take him to dinner. It's clearly something extra here. And maybe the 50-50 isn't just, hey, one of these guys are involved, but truthfully, maybe the 50-50 comes more into play is I'm interested in both. This could be my I really like both Colorado players, and that's something that sparks my interest. That's something that gets me excited, and both of them have a talent that I really need and am excited for. Interested. And I think that probably cluttered in where they're at. Truthfully, at the rate that we're at, I might be stunned if one of these guys aren't the pick off the board at two. The more and the farther that we get into the process, the more signals and signs that the Browns throw. And I would lean even at this point to not what I hope happens.
Idiot.
Because I still want that to be Shador. But what I think might happen, if you made me put money on it right now, I might say that Travis Hunter would probably be the favorite to fall to the Browns at two. The way that they're acting, the way that they're clearly making themselves interested. But it's by no means a guarantee. And I think that you would put out a similar product if you were only interested in one of them, but you were guaranteed to be interested. And if you want to show, hey, I really like Shador Sanders, whether I draft him at two or not, I might be interested in drafting him later on in the first round. That could be of interest too. And to show face, to make sure you're out there, it feels very intentional. And not just because two prospects are there, but because of the height and because of the notoriety of the people in the building, I don't think it's a nothing. And as I look at it again more and more, I do focus on the dinner a bit, which is not out of the ordinary for teams to do. It does feel odd to me that you are clearly either throwing a curveball and trying to keep teams off base, or have something intentionally in your head of why you took them both to dinner at the same time. Let's just knock it out. Let's meet with both of them at the exact same time. Yeah, that strikes me as a little odd. That strikes me as, if you're going to put them both in there, have the conversations, is it possible that you just really like both? Is it possible that, hey, I'm going to consider one of you at two, and like we talked about a lot yesterday, not just that I consider you at two, but I might show a lot of interest in Shador and the connection that you two have together, because it might be something that I actually want to pair. It might be something that I consider in the draft, getting back up into the first round if Shador falls, in putting both of you together and making sure that you're not just going from Colorado and splitting up, but going from Colorado and we keep the connection going on into the NFL, because we know Shador likes Travis Hunter on the field. And if you establish the connection that they enjoy each other off the field and there's a lot there and you think they have room to grow with one another, but not just as individuals, I would think a dinner together also points towards that. 216-474-0092. The Browns sending eight. Do you think they're showing their hand as well? A dinner with both of them, I think, might make it possible that you're thinking about putting both on the table in the draft. Again, 216-474-0092. You can also get to me on X at VolnickJake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot to get to today, as usual, on a Friday at 8 o'clock. We'll talk to Max Chadwick of PFF, college football analyst over there. We'll see what's going on with the Browns at number two, where he feels they're at following a Colorado Pro Day, and other news at the top of the draft. And coming up at 8:40, Draft Daily, we welcome in Brian Howell of the Boulder Daily Camera to see, get the inside scoop. What did they actually look like, in maybe a little extra information if we can get it on Shador and Travis. A whole lot more. The Station Buzz at 7:40. Get a Grip at 9. Must listen radio. And we'll bring in McKenzie in the 10 o'clock hour for You Gotta Pick One. But right now, 216-474-0092. Do eight people at Colorado's Pro Day mean something to you? And a dinner for two feels like there could be something hidden. It's Jake Volnick with the guys here until 11 on Overtime on The Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys on The Fan, asking you at 216-474-0092. Does it mean anything that the Browns are sending eight people to the Colorado Pro Day? we also got to talk about a little bit of the dinner, but I would have to say yes. You don't just send eight people just to send eight people, okay? Especially not the Browns. You're trying to do your due diligence, trying to make sure that you get things right. It feels like more and more that one of your options, and not just because Deion said it, again, because I take most of what Deion says sort of with a grain of salt, but it does feel if you're going to send eight people out there to watch these two guys play, you got to be pretty high on thinking that this could potentially be the guy. Again, I don't know which one they're looking at, but one of them I would have to think you're saying to yourself, this could potentially be the guy that I want to draft it to, right? Either eight people feels like, hey, let's get everybody in the room to basically just watch it, agree on it. There it is, right? There it is. There's the pick that we make. Everybody's seeing the same thing. Everybody on the same page. Good. Glad that we've come to this consensus. It would not be out of the normal for the Browns to come to that and feel like everybody has to be involved in the process. Look at the way that they talk about the Deshaun Watson move. Look at the way that every time it gets brought up, even with Jimmy Haslam taking the sort of the final hit for it, look at the way that when they bring it up, it was an organizational decision, guys. Everybody from top to bottom was involved in bringing Deshaun here. Everybody had their say. People gave their thumbs up, gave their approval. Now, obviously, Jimmy had to give the final approval. But, yeah, everybody had to sort of have their say and agree to bringing Deshaun in. And nobody has been singled out as, well, it was really his idea first. Or it was really his idea second. So it would not be out of the normal for this team to go and make sure that everybody gets on the same page to make the decision of who's going to be the draft pick at number two. Big decisions feel like when they're made right now in the current edition of the Browns under the Haslam era, that they want it to be made where everybody comes to a conclusion, everybody agrees, and nobody's left out without a chance to say their word. But you come to a conclusion, you come to an answer one way or another, but everybody will have a chance to say their word that should truly be able to get their word in edgewise. You're going to have your chance. You're going to be able to see him in person. You're going to be able to confirm or deny your thought processes on that guy in the actual moment. And that's what it feels like they did for me today. Now, we can't say for certain, I'm sure, we're going to have more conversations regarding Abdul Carter. We're going to have more conversations regarding both of these guys. It's sort of your obvious, you're going to draft one of the three at this rate. But you sent three for Cam Ward. You didn't get to see Abdul Carter work out, so you're just basing that completely off of tape. And then it's, okay, yeah, eight. Eight people to go watch them. It feels like a final decision today, maybe one way or the other. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. And they said, you know what? We're thinking probably not Shador, probably not Travis. But at least we want to make sure, and we want to see that in person, and we want to make sure that everybody sees the same thing on why not. But I would much more start to lean on the correct side. And again, maybe it's just because of the obvious, they're both here. Let's just knock this out all in one go. Let's get you both at dinner at the same time. Maybe we'll focus on one guy more than the other. Maybe we'll just ask you both questions to make you feel nice. I would think that if you brought in two, it's at least a conversation. At least a conversation that you have where, all right, guys, we decided on Travis Hunter. But we got plenty of info on Shador, right? We get to 16 maybe in the draft. And we're sitting there thinking, man, if I had this pick right now, I'd snatch Shador in a heartbeat. You know what? Let me go get that pick right now so I can snatch Shador in a heartbeat. That is, I think, a real possibility. I want to get your guys' thoughts in. At 216-474-0092, let's go out to the phones. Larry is in Elyria. What's going on, Larry?
Hey, how's it going, Jake? Yeah, you know, when I first heard about eight people going out there, you're just not going to, you know, this one person. I think it could be the Jamar Chase Joe Burrow combination again. I mean, I don't know what they're going to, how to pull this off, what they're going to do, but the Browns definitely on the offensive side of ball, Jake, that's what they got to do. Now, the defense ain't bad, but they still need a little bit of help. But all of a sudden, if you get both these kids together, which you'd be comfortable with too, the Shorewood, and you try to get running back too via Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson too, right there. then he could be looking pretty nice.
Yeah, I think ultimately if you did end up with both of them, you probably lose that pick at 33 because you probably have to go back up into the first. But, I mean, there's a chance that – I would doubt. I think it's a long shot. There's a chance that Travion or Quinshon fall into the third round, and you have a chance there as well.
Well, Jake, you know, so too, they go off next year to come up with something. You never know, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll try at least maybe some type of draft pick next year also in that package.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I mean, I don't know that I love if they give up a first-rounder in a trade to move back up like a next year first. But if you can pack it together, even like your second and your third or your second and your fourth and a player or something –
Exactly. The same thing. You're right, Jake. Have a good one. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Larry. I think that the combination guys would be really interested. It's not often that you get the opportunity to pair a high-level quarterback or what's viewed as one in this draft. I would very comfortably say that. Viewed as a high-level, one of the top three quarterbacks in the draft, with one of the top three or four wide receiver prospects in the draft, and then one of the top 2 to 3 prospects total in the draft and that guy as well. Like, that is hands down a wild pairing that can go down, and the Browns would have to be sure, though. And there's a message that's sent there that we went over yesterday a little bit that clearly, if you go through, and that's the conclusion that you come to and the decision that you make is, I want to go, and you'd have to take Travis Hunter at 1 or at 2 with your first pick to get this done because Travis Hunter's not slipping. If you say, all right, I want Travis Hunter at 2, like, yeah, there is the notion that, well, we like Travis Hunter better than we like Shador. A little bit. I would think that a lot of people in this draft class would probably say, we liked Travis Hunter more than we liked Shador Sanders. And then if you went back up and got Shador in the first round, I think that it's just a good play by you. It's a good value play by you. But it's a real possibility, I think, to pair these two guys together. It's a risky move. Don't get it twisted. You're making a risk by letting Shador fall out of that. I think that the number one thing that has to happen is you say, I love Travis Hunter to get it done. And then I really like Shador, and I'm hoping that we can make this work. That's essentially the route that you have to go down. 216-474-0092. A quick reminder before we go back out to the phones. Coming up here in 30 minutes, we'll talk to Max Chadwick of PFF. Talk to him about the draft as well. The station buzz coming your way in about 10 minutes. Let's go to BP is in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. How did your Buffaloes? You get to watch any of the pro day? You get to see how they fared?
Yeah, luckily, NFL Network had it on, so I taped it and I watched it back. So, to all the listeners out there, they're going to probably be replaying that, through the day. So, they're calling it like the NFL Draft Showcase or something like that.
Right.
But I wanted to see also, is Jimmy Haslam going to be there, Andrew Berry? And yes, they were there front and center, like literally, like right on the field. So like you said, the Browns sent a big contingent out there. And I thought Shador Sanders looked the part. He looked, again, he's throwing against air, but he looked the part. The announcers from the NFL Network gave him good reviews. Travis Hunter looked good. So, we'll see what happens. Yeah. Like the Larry, the caller just mentioned, a dream scenario would be to get Travis Hunter at number 3, Shador Sanders at, get him at pick 20 before the Steelers grab him. And, then we can start moving here because that offense has been terrible. The Browns, I think, averaged about 15 points a game last year, which was obviously unacceptable, obviously. I mean, that was an NFL offense. So, like I said, now it depends on Abdul Carter. How do the Browns feel about Abdul Carter? You just don't know. But I think the guys from University of Colorado showed up well today. And, and it seemed like Deion liked the Haslams as well, which was a funny twist.
Yeah, he had pretty good things to say about him, BP. I appreciate the call. He had pretty good things to say about Jimmy Haslam, right? We played him in the first segment. Maybe a little awkwardly, but he sounded like he was interested. He said he expects one of his guys to go and play in Cleveland, which, by the way, guys, again, if you're worried about the Deion being a factor thing, it doesn't sound like it's going to be a factor in getting him to Cleveland. Right? He said he expects one of his guys to go there. Doesn't sound like he'd be sticking his foot in the door and saying, no way. So I think at this point we can kind of throw that out the window. But Abdul Carter is the wild card here, right? If the Browns are that interested to go see one, if not both of those guys and what they can do, There's also clearly the conversation that needs to be had about Abdul Carter as well, where you have to ask the question, if Abdul Carter could have had a pro day, if he could have been out there on the field, what would they have done? How many guys would they have sent to go see Abdul Carter? But that's what makes it interesting. That's what leads sort of the question marks to be raised about what the Browns are going to do at two. Because I think if not for Abdul being hurt, you'd have on the record what they go and show, and you could say, okay, either they just viewed a lot of the top prospects in that light, where they felt Carter, Shador, and Travis Hunter were probably all options, and they sent a lot of guys to watch either. Or, you know, you could probably say, well, they didn't send as many to Shador, or they didn't send, as many to Abdul Carter, so we're probably going to get one of these two guys, but we don't have that. Because all Abdul Carter did at the end of the day was measuring. He's like, here's the size. I'm not running anything. I'm not doing drills for you. I still have to rehab from a shoulder injury. And I made it sound maybe a little bit negative there. Not necessarily negative, but he's recovering from a shoulder injury. You're not going out and running the drills. It's just, it gets very interesting. The Browns, I think, have shown at least without a doubt that you can't rule out Shador Sanders or Travis Hunter at two. If you're completely convinced at this point, if you're in the camp that, oh, the Browns are going to do Abdul Carter at number two, that's going to be the pick when they send in the card, it's hands down going to be the defensive end from Penn State, I think that today puts that off the radar. You at least now have to consider these three things, which again, maybe is what the Browns love because they love nobody having them figured out. But you have to have all three guys in consideration once again, whereas it felt like you were starting to maybe weed some of those guys out, whittle it down to who it could potentially be, but you've gotten to the answer. You've gotten to your answer that you can't weed them out and you can't whittle them down. You don't know who it's going to be, but you know that at least those three guys are going to be on the table and going to be an option. And I don't think anybody for certain can come in and lock it down, right? NFL Network had three notable people sitting on a desk, and I watched all of them make their prediction for who the Browns draft, and each of them went with one of the three prospects. You just can't be sure. And that's what makes it interesting. But definitely don't rule out Travis Hunter. Definitely don't rule out Shador Sanders. You don't send eight people to a pro day for nothing. Not a chance. 216-474-0092 to get your calls in. We got the Station Buzz also coming up here in just a few minutes at 740. Max Chadwick of PFF going to join us today. We'll get to your calls as well as the Station Buzz coming back in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan coming up here in 17 minutes. Max Chadwick of PFF, college analyst over there, going to help us break down what the Browns are doing at two as well, the top of the draft. He joins us every Friday at 8 o'clock. We're going to get to the Station Buzz coming up here in just a couple of minutes, but I did want to slip in one more call and go out to the phones. Jack is in Lorain. Jack, how's it going, man?
I'm great, Jake. Thanks for taking my call, sir.
Yeah, what do you got, man?
I just wanted to say, this probably has nothing to do with why they sent eight people, but I like to play poker, and if you want to make a bluff, that's a hell of a way to do it. You send those guys out there, you create the buzz of how much the Browns love this guy and that they're probably going to take him at two, and you drive up the price of a possible trade down. And I just like to throw that option out there as a consideration.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's crazy. You would throw those people out there. It would definitely do that. If somebody's like, wow, I really wanted Shador. I really wanted Travis Hunter. Brown's clearly interested. Can I get him off of it? Eight people feels like a lot. Like, to suit everybody up, to get Jimmy out there, to get JW out there, a bunch of other people within the front office. Like, I feel like the three people, if you would have sent the big three, like, would that not have been enough to do that? To be like, oh, Jimmy, Andrew Berry, and Stefanski were there. That's clearly something.
Well, let me ask you this. Wasn't it a big deal not very long ago that they didn't send anybody out to Cam Ward?
Yeah, no, I mean, it 100% was. But then the very next day, it was the private workout, and they sent those three there, and all of a sudden, now, I think the Cam Ward one obviously carries less buzz because it's basically assumed at this point that the Titans are going to take him at one. But it was buzz that they didn't send anybody out. and that it was sort of almost a rebuzz back in the air that, oh, they were going for a private workout.
Right. So I just think that a lot of balls get put in the same basket from day to day and from week to week as things change. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine that said he's all on the Shador wagon now because Shador showed today that he can throw the deep ball, when that was one of the main concerns all through this draft season, is that he couldn't throw the deep ball.
Right.
So it's just about what information gets released when and how that information gets manipulated. Like it's been said for many times, it's a silly season, and it could mean anything.
Yeah, and Jack, I appreciate the call. I think that's really the fun part of it all, is that, and you bring the perfect side of it too, where it's like maybe this is all just one big sham. Now, I hate the idea that the Browns are bluffing it too. Obviously, drive up the asking price, sure. I hate the idea that it is a bluff it too, but it's on the table. It's on the table that this means absolutely nothing, and they're actually just in love with Abdul Carter, and they just want somebody to go trade up for the pick, specifically probably in that case the Giants, if that's who they really like, and go take him. I think that's on the table. I do, though, think that by the time you send eight people out there, it makes it interesting. We'll talk Cam Ward-Armstrength, by the way, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour here at some point, too. But I do want to get to what I consider the most pressing clips from across the station's guests today, and we can only do it with the station buzz. All right, let's kick things off. Mark Johnson, the voice of Colorado football, was on with Afternoon Drive today, and he talked just about that arm talent from Shador, thinks that he has enough to go ahead and make it work.
And I'm convinced he's going to be a very good NFL quarterback, and so he's got the arm talent. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I know from what he did during the games the 2 years for the Buffaloes, nobody thought about the deep game for Colorado, so he didn't have to throw a lot of those. What he did, it was primarily, Travis Hunter and Jimmy Horner were catching those balls, but it was a lot of short stuff with him. But that was mainly because of the offense and what was going on with the offensive line. But he's got the talent to play at the next level, and certainly he's got, you know, what goes on between the ears. He's an awful impressive guy, and I've always said I'm buying stock in Shador Sanders.
I mean, this obviously you could consider to some degree a quote-unquote biased source because he's calling Colorado football week in and week out. But I do think that today you looked at it, and you said, oh, Shador can definitely, it's not that he doesn't have a strong arm. It's not that he, well, I guess, okay, let me pull back on that. It's not that he doesn't have the ability to complete balls down the field, but that maybe if you needed a throw completed, you know, 50 yards on a rope, okay, Shador's not going to do that, right? He's not going to be Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to be, I'm trying to think of other strong arm quarterbacks. Obviously, like you considered, I think, Josh Allen there, prime Aaron Rodgers, like, those guys could put it on a frozen rope out to like 40, 50 yards, and you'd be like, wow, that was impressive. Okay, that's not going to be Shador Sanders. I don't necessarily think, though, just because the arm strength isn't insane, it isn't immaculate, that you can't just go and actually complete passes at the NFL level. Right? Not everything needs to be on a rope down beyond the sticks. It just, you have to make the easy throws. You have to make you have to be able to complete the deep ball, but not be able to complete the toughest passes across the league. Sure, would it be great if he could? Yeah. Is it going to stop him from being an NFL quarterback that he necessarily can't? I don't think so at all. There's plenty of quarterbacks in the league who don't have the greatest arm strength. The most easy one to point to that sort of catches people's ear is Joe Burrow. Like, Joe Burrow is not an insane arm talent. He's just really smart. He picks up the game really fast, and he makes great decisions. That's enough. And I'm not comparing Shador directly to Joe Burrow, but it is almost like right now, probably budget Joe Burrow. And to some degree, that's okay, even in the AFC North. Dane Brugler covers the NFL draft for The Athletic, on with Ken and Anthony this morning. And he had the complete opposite take. And now he's been in the anti-Shador boat the whole time, so it's kind of the opposite here. But he was asked about whether or not Shador can elevate an offense, and he gave his answer.
He's a good quarterback, just not one that I think you necessarily draft in the top five. You know, I don't think he's a guy that's going to elevate the offense around you. I think he can come in and, like, what's the best case scenario for Shador? Is it maybe a Brock Purdy? Like, maybe that's absolute best case. And, you know, there's no guarantee he would get to that level. So You know, I think it'd be a big swing to draft him number two overall and expect him to come in, elevate everybody around you, make the offense clearly better, and help you compete for the playoffs. I think it's not only that you're making that pick early, but you're also missing out on some of these other top prospects that are on your board.
Now, I don't necessarily think that saying he could be Brock Purdy is all that of a bad thing, right? Like, off the ear, it might sound a little disrespectful. But overall, I think that you look at, okay, what has Brock Purdy done in his career? Well, guys, he made it to a Super Bowl, right? Like, if you can coach a team to a Super Bowl and you can quarterback a team to a Super Bowl and that's all the connection takes, I think Browns fans would be pretty happy with that. A chance to win a Super Bowl, be in the game, and actually go through and compete? Yeah, that's about as good as I need. That'll do it for me. And I don't know that I'm putting his ceiling at a guy who is drafted with the very last pick in the draft. That's the part that feels a little bit of disrespect, but he's clearly proven to be one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL right now that can lead a team. And again, like I said, make the throws that matter. Be accurate. Be timely. Doesn't seem that bad. Keeping it rolling, Nathan Zagura also on with Ken and Nate this morning, the Browns Radio Network. You can, of course, hear him during all the games. He threw out what the Browns could be needing to do early on in this draft.
The reality is right now, you could roll out a defense as the Cleveland Browns right now. It'll be top half of the league. It will. You can roll that out right now and feel pretty good about it, honestly. On the offensive side, you can't. You can't. You need right now, today, two quarterbacks. You need two running backs. You probably need two receivers, and you certainly need at least one tight end and maybe even a tackle. So you have significant needs on the offense. You have an opportunity, I think, in this draft in your first four picks to get a quarterback, to get a running back, to get a receiver, and to get a tight end, to get weapons to help you score. You know that last year the Ravens scored more than double the points the Cleveland Browns did? This is an offensive league, and the Cleveland Browns have an opportunity to turn an offense around. That's got to be the mindset for this Cleveland Browns organization going into a draft with these assets. We have got to find a way that we can be a competitive offensive football team.
I love the idea that this team just basically starts it out and rips offense from the gate and just keeps it going. Pick after pick, guy after guy. If you go quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, I don't think that's even a bad draft strategy for the Browns right now. You need the help. That's okay if that's the route that you go down. I think I'd be more than comfortable getting those assets, getting those weapons in the building. Now, the only part that would scare me about that, Browns could also use a safety right now. You got rid of Juan Thornhill. You're basically like Ronnie Hickman is your safety that would be starting. And no knock to Ronnie Hickman. Probably just not ready to start in the NFL at this point. He's an undrafted free agent. Good pickup. Just not ready to go. But if you go all offense, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if that's what happens for the Browns and they key in on offense. And that's a key part to their draft strategy is boosting the offense. Because, guys, you had a middle-of-the-pack defense last year while having a bottom-of-the-league offense, and that was with your defense being handicapped by the fact of they're consistently on the field, they're not getting set up in good field position, and they still managed to place around middle of the league. Yeah, go get the offensive help. All right. Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, on with Nick and JP, and he had questions for a couple of the big stars for the Cavs when the playoffs roll around.
Evan is learning how to be a star. There's a level of consistency that you have to have. There's a level of attention on you. There's a level of pressure on you. And it's something that Evan is still getting comfortable with. And he's still learning. And you can say the same thing when it comes to Darius. And now all of a sudden, you add what the playoffs are going to be. And you add all of the pressure and expectations of the playoffs. And it's just, to me, is Evan Mobley ready? Is Darius Garland ready? Is this team as a collective ready for everything that the playoffs are all about? That's the question that I have about them. That's really the only question that I have about them, because two of the guys that they rely on the most just haven't done it.
Yeah, it has to be something you consider. I would say at this point, I think I have more faith in Evan Mobley than I do Darius Garland. Not for a bad reason. I mean, Evan struggled a little bit here within the last few games, but I expect him to turn it around. I expect him to sort of be a killer when the playoffs come to be. But we've seen Darius in the playoffs, maybe not playing at this high of a level necessarily, but we've seen him in the playoffs sort of fade and become less of himself. Where we've seen Evan at different times, look at the Boston series when you were missing Donovan last year, He elevated. He elevated in that last game, and you saw that he could drop 30. I think that Evan can rise to the occasion. I'm almost, though, still waiting on to see it from Darius Garland. And I'm fairly confident that he will, and I'm very hopeful that he will show that. But I also can't be sitting here calling it a guarantee either. Right? I still have my concerns. I still have my questions about whether or not Darius can get it done. There's a little worry there for me. So I think there are still big questions to answer. They're going to get answered within the first two series. By the time that you get to play Boston, you'll know whether or not I think Darius Garland is ready to compete in the playoffs, or if this is way more of a mental thing and you have a serious issue on your hand. All right. That'll do it for the Station Buzz. Coming back here in about 5 minutes, we'll talk to Max Chadwick of PFF, college football analyst. We have him on every single Friday. A lot of news around the Browns and what they can do at two since the last time we spoke. Should lead for something good. Again, Max Chadwick, 8 o'clock. Coming your guys' way here in about 4 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with you on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.